Today's message is broken up into three different parts with scripture readings in between. We'll be looking at three different accounts of people who were resurrected from the dead during Jesus' earthly ministry. And now, our message for today.
Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Luke, 7th chapter. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." And then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is the word of the Lord.
You know what you're supposed to do. When you're driving and in your rearview mirror, you see a long line of cars led by a hearse. You know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to put to the side all your frustrations, put to the side all of your inconveniences, put to the side all of your lateness to wherever you're going as you put yourself and your car to the side of the road, right? You know what you're supposed to do when you look in the rearview mirror and there's a long line of cars coming at you with the hearse leading it. When you encounter death, you are to do everything that you can to get out of its way. Jesus knew what he was supposed to do. That day in that small town of Nain, Jesus knew what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to be doing what everybody else was doing, which is getting out of the way and respecting death. You respect the body, and you respect each and every person that is mourning that body as they were following their loved one for the very last time. Jesus knew what he was supposed to do, but Jesus doesn't do any of it, does he? No, that day in that small town of Nain, Jesus doesn't just slow down the funeral procession. He stops it altogether. After he stops it, he walks through the crowd, through the people mourning, around the pallbearers, and comes straight to the grieving mother. And Jesus, with seemingly no respect for the grieving mother at all, or, I don't know, no amount of sensitivity training that Jesus has gone through, Jesus looks at that grieving mother and says, "Do not weep." Not very respectful, is it? I can imagine the heart of that mom that day. This was the day that she was not looking forward to. This was the worst day after the phone call. This day for the mom, it started in grief and in dread. And her heart warmed a little bit as each and every person came through the visitation line. And she knew that they were just trying their best to say the right thing. But ultimately, each and every person that walked through that visitation line knew that there was nothing that they could say that could heal her wound. But as she sat in the funeral service, her heart was uplifted a little bit as a pastor preached and spoke words of hope. But yet she finds herself again, her heart in the pit, as she is following her son for the very last time. After Jesus gets done speaking to the mother, He walks around the mom. And he walks straight up to the pallbearers who's holding the bier, and he puts his very hands on the coffin itself. And before anybody knew what he was doing, Jesus started to speak commands again. But this time, Jesus isn't talking to the grieving mother. Jesus isn't talking to the pallbearers. Jesus isn't even talking to anybody in the funeral procession. Jesus looks dead in that casket and says to that young man, "Arise." And arise, that young man did. There's a beautiful detail that Scripture gives us. It says that Jesus gave back the son to the mother. Because that's what death is. Death had stolen the son from the mother, but Jesus was the one who had the power to give that son back. Yes, Jesus knew what he was supposed to do that day. He knew that he was supposed to get out of the way of death. He knew that he was supposed to respect death, but he did none of them. Instead, he took his righteous right hand and he pulled that son out of the strongholds of death and gave the son back to the mom. I can imagine the roller coaster that mom's heart was on, going from grief now to life. There would come another time when Jesus refused to let death just go by him. Jesus refused to let your death just go by him. Jesus refused to respect your death. Instead, he meets your death head on. He stops it, and he reaches his righteous right hand, which is nailed to the cross opposite his left. And when it seems like death had done to Jesus what it did to that son and what it did for each and every human being up to that point, the Heavenly Father shows no respect to death as he raises Jesus out of it. He reached down his righteous right hand, and out of the strong grips of death comes Jesus back to life. And even today, Jesus' plan of salvation that he has for you is not fully complete yet. Because Jesus will take that righteous right hand that was nailed to the cross opposite his left and will reach down into your casket, into your urn, into your final resting place. And he will tell you to arise.
The Gospel of our Lord from the 5th chapter of Mark. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying, please. Come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. While Jesus was speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord.
They said that she was dead. But God said, no. They said that she was dead, but Jesus says, do not fear, only believe. They said that she was dead, but Jesus said, she is only sleeping. And they laughed at him. They laughed at the Son of God. They laughed and they laughed until they cried and they cried. Because the sorrow that was piercing their heart that day was the death of a 12-year-old little girl. And this one hits us differently. Scripture doesn't tell us how old the son of the widow of Nain is, but Scripture makes it a point to tell us that this little one was only 12. She had so much left to live. She had laughter. She had love. She had a childhood left to experience. She had junior high. She had prom that was coming up in high school. She had her college years. She had a job to get. She had memories to make. But she got to do none of those because death arrived before Jesus. And when Jesus gets on the scene, he says, she's sleeping. And that is laughable nonsense. Because they know the difference between death and sleep. They know how sleep looks, and they know how death looks, and they did not look eerily similar at all. But soon, Jesus would wake this little girl up from her deathly slumber. Because that's what the power of death is to Jesus. It's just sleep. Just like you and I wake up at the sound of an alarm clock every single morning, so those who die in Christ will wake up. Jesus leaves those that are mourning outside and walks into the home on the inside. And Jesus takes the hand, the cold, rigid hand of that 12-year-old little girl, and speaks two words to her. Two words that to the daughter of Jairus sounded like a life-giving alarm clock. Jesus spoke to that little girl two words. Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise, and arise she did. Scripture gives us a beautiful detail in this account also. It makes sure that we know that this is not just a spirit resurrection. This isn't just a soul resurrection. This is a bodily resurrection because she was eating. There would come a time when Jesus would soon be the next one that was soon to die. And when Jesus was on that cross, they mocked him, they tortured him, and yes, they even laughed at him. They laughed and they laughed until Jesus was dead, and then they stopped laughing because they thought he was. And guess what? They were right. He was dead. I wonder in the tomb that very first Easter. I wonder if Jesus heard the same thing that he spoke to Jairus' daughter. I wonder if Jesus heard those two words from his heavenly Father when he would say, Yeshua Kum. Which means, Jesus, I say to you, arise, and arise he did. I wonder if that's what we're going to hear in our coffin, in our urn, in our final resting place. I wonder if we're going to hear Michael Coom. I wonder if we're going to hear John Coom, Rachel Coom, Sarah Coom. I wonder if you're going to hear your first name and the Heavenly Father say to you, arise, because arise you will. Jesus will wake you out of your deathly slumber at the sound of his life-giving alarm clock. By the sound of his voice. And when you are resurrected, so the resurrection of your joy will happen. The resurrection of your hope will happen. And the resurrection of your future. Those are the first two accounts. There's one more.
Finally, our last reading from the Gospel of John. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. This is the word of the Lord.
Have you ever had death steal a loved one? Have you ever had a loved one stolen by death? Why spend 5 weeks on one promise that Jesus gives to us? Why spend 5 weeks talking about life, death, and resurrection? Because it affects each and every person in this room differently. Have you ever had a loved one stolen by death? You know what it does? It changes who you are. Death changes who you are. It changes everything. It's as if your heart is pulled out of your chest. There's a saying that goes for those people that endure the death of a loved one, and I think it's seen as empty platitude, but I don't think that it is. If you talk to those people who have gone through the death of a loved one, they'll let you know that that part of them died along with them. And I don't think it's just an empty platitude, because I think there's something about community. There's something about us here that is so ingrained in us that death just separates. Yes, death separates soul and body, but it also separates friend from friend. And it separates family member from family member. And it separates husband from wife. And it separates parent from child. And it separates child from parent. Have you ever had a loved one stolen by death? Jesus has too. In Scripture, it says that Jesus loved Lazarus like a brother. But our text opens up to let us know that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. But Scripture also makes it clear that there's a point to this. It says, so that the Son of Man may be glorified. But then comes probably the most tender words of all the New Testament. Then comes the shortest verse of all the New Testament. Look, Jesus knew what was going to happen, right? Jesus knew that all he had to do was put his hands on that tomb and say, "Young man, get up," and Lazarus would. Jesus knew that all he had to say was, "Lazarus, cum," which means, "Lazarus, I say to you, arise," and he would have. Jesus knew what was about to happen, but that didn't stop him from shedding tears. Because death separates. But just like our other three accounts, Jesus looks up to heaven and says, "Lazarus, come out." And come out, Lazarus does. But the Gospel of John gives us another, just a beautiful detail. It says that Lazarus came out with his grave clothes on, which makes sense, right? Because death would get Lazarus one more time. If you fast forward and you read through Jesus' death and his resurrection, do you know the little detail that John gives us? When John comes out of the tomb, it is his grave clothes are tidy in a nice little neat pile on the side, not on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is forever done with death. And death is forever done with Jesus. And there will be a time when death is forever done with you too. Why spend 5 weeks? Why spend 5 weeks going through one promise? Because it affects each and every person in here differently. As we continue on in this series, we're going to keep on building on what we've talked about this morning. And I promise you, as we talk about this, it's going to bring up questions that you have, right? What happens at death? What is the new heavens and the new earth gonna be like? What's that resurrection gonna be like? What is this intermediate state that we talk about? What is my grandma, my child, my spouse, my family member, my friend, what are they experiencing right now? We want this series to be a little bit more interactive. So we are gonna give you a phone number that you can text us with. That phone number, 812-775-2300. Here's what we want you to do. We want you, when you have a question during church, nobody's going to judge you. Grab your cell phone out. Text us. After church, before church, during the week, after week, in the middle of the week, text us, because we know that there are so many questions surrounding death, and we want to give you biblical and scriptural answers. And here's what I can promise you. The questions that we get through the week will change our upcoming message, our upcoming sermon, because we want to give you answers. When we all look forward to that day that Jesus reaches down his righteous right hand, when Jesus speaks to you the words "Kum," or Jesus says to you "Come out," there will be a bodily resurrection, and we will see Jesus face to face. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.